Welcome to the Film Podcast. I'm Ricardo.
I'm Jenny.
I'm Adam Scott.
Hello. Welcome. Today we're talking about our Netflix recommendations for June. We're trying to do one of these episodes every month and, you know, recommend. Today we have three of us here, so it's going to be a total of 15 recommendations. Usually we have 20 because we have a fourth person, but Brandon was sick. He had diarrhea, so no, he didn't. He just had the cold. All right, so before we get into it, any movies you guys have seen in theaters or anything? Any things you've seen on Netflix that, you know, I guess...
I mean, we're going to talk about
that in a minute.
I saw Pitch Perfect 2.
Oh, you went to the movies to see it?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Did you like it?
Yeah. It's not as good as the first one, mm-hmm. but I liked it. I thought it was funny.
Elizabeth Banks directed it, right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. I should go back and rewatch the first one again, but it felt a little bit more...
disjointed?
No, like stereotypical racist.
Really?
Yeah.
Had a dusting of racism.
Like, everything was racist.
Of old-timey racism.
And I don't remember that being as bad in the first one.
Really?
I feel like I would have remembered that, but it was like everything. Like, there's this one character, this isn't spoiling anything, but there's one character that's in the, I can't even remember the band's name now, mm-hmm. Pitches, the girl. She's Hispanic,
mm-hmm.
and literally every line she says has to do with her being deported.
Really?
Or like being a drug mule. Like
really?
everything she said. I was like, I don't know anything else about her except that she is nervous that she's going
to deported
be
or
deported.
Her drug inside
yeah.
her body.
Like one person will say, oh my God, this is the worst day ever. And she's like, not as bad as when I had like some diarrhea or something from... From
the drug. I had like diarrhea. I had like, diarrhea for like a week or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You saw it too?
I did see it too.
Did you like it too?
I didn't think it was as good as the first one.
Yeah.
It was a bit disappointing.
I still haven't seen the first one.
The first one I remember really loving, I'm questioning whether or not I was drunk or something.
I'm trying to figure out.
Was the first one not as good as I remember it being at the time?
Okay, so I will say going into the first one, you have to understand that it's just like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's not... It's just ridiculous. Everything about it is ridiculous, and that's the joke. And obviously, they were trying to do that again and make it all ridiculous and not... Like, it's almost like it's a parody on all those teen girl movies, kind of. But it just... I don't know. It was interesting.
Mm.
But it was funny. I mean, it was funny. I liked all the other groups and everything. The Green Bay Packers are in it.
Oh.
Clay Matthews.
Yeah.
Sings.
but so not funny. As good as the first one, then. That's the verdict.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else you guys saw in theaters? I want to see Spy, but I haven't had the chance. I would definitely check it out.
I
got good reviews. I did watch Jurassic Park 3.
Yeah, I rewatched all the Jurassic Parks.
Man, the sequels are pretty bad, huh?
Yeah. I can't decide if I didn't like 2 or 3 more.
I still stand that 3 is better than 2 because at least they keep going. Like, there's no stopping. Like, they get to the island, and then, like, it's like, we got to get out of here. Bam, bam, bam. And
2
like,
is, like, not even the same movie at all. Like, 2 doesn't even have to do with... I feel like 2 doesn't even have to do with dinosaurs, almost.
Yeah. And 2, there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of downtime where it's not, like, an adventure. At least 3
And you're more
is,
worried
like,
about, like, him and his... ex-wife and his daughter, and you're like, I don't care about their life. Just fucking run from dinosaurs.
That's true.
That's how I feel about the second one.
I like, as much as I love Jeff Goldblum, I kind of like Sam Neill in part 3 better. You know?
Better than Jeff Goldblum in part 2?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Sam Neill has a more direct objective in the third one.
and then Jeff Goldblum's got that gymnastic daughter who like saves
the
day.
Kind of silly.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah.
I don't like that. I mean, 3 is just as silly. I mean, the whole like raptors talking and stuff.
The raptors with mohawks.
Yeah. So we'll see how the new one is next week. But this week, we're talking about Netflix recommendations for June. Who wants to start off? I mean, if not, I'll go. Whatever.
You go.
All right. My first recommendation is a movie directed by the... What's his moniker? Is it is it not stylist? Is it fashionista? Tom Ford? What is Tom Ford?
Is he designer? A fashion designer?
Yeah, yeah, fashion designer Tom Ford. It was co-written as well by him. It's called A Single Man. It came out in 2009, and I really, really dig this movie. It's about an English professor who, after the sudden death of his boyfriend, he's unable to cope, you know, without having him in his life and stuff. And so it's kind of, it's him contemplating suicide, and it's the day he decides whether or not he's going to commit suicide. And it is really, really well done. I really enjoyed it. Did you see this movie?
I did. I remember being kind of on the fence about it. It's been a long, I haven't seen it since it came out. And like, I like parts and some parts I don't like, I remember. But again, what year was it?
09.
09. Okay. Yeah. I haven't seen it since that year. So I can't really remember what it was I didn't like about it. I remember it looked like it visually being interesting.
Yeah, it's shot beautifully. Like all the, I mean, it's a period piece. I think it's the 50s.
Yeah, like the 50s or 60s.
Yeah, and everything is. I liked it, and I saw him in a Q&A when I saw this movie. I saw Tom Ford talking about this afterwards, and he talked about how a big thing that came up was Mad Men. How like a lot of things in Mad Men were new. There's not a lot of old things in Mad Men, and that was his complaint about Mad Men. How he's like in the 60s, they had you stuff in the 50s. He's like in a lot of the shows that are period pieces or movies, you see a lot of things that are new. And he, for some reason, that stuck out. And it really kind of, ever since then, every period piece I've seen, I like look at that. Like, just because it's a certain year, like everything shouldn't be new of the year. And this really kind of, this movie kind of does that, really good job of that, because I've seen it a couple times and I was able to check it out. But it's just everything looks like real. Everything looks lived in. Everything looks, there's things of new and old aesthetics, and it looks great. It stars Colin Firth, Julianne Moore, Matthew Good, and Nicholas Hoult. And it's really, really well done, really well acted. And there's some still moments, but it flows at a good pace. I definitely recommend it. And
it's a pretty still movie.
Would you say that?
It's a pretty still movie. Lots of sitting in the car, contemplating things while staring in the window or staring in the mirror.
I guess so. It's mild
stillness.
Mild stillness. If Terrence Malick is maximum stillness, this is mild stillness. But yeah, I enjoyed it, and you should check it out if you. It is a downer. I will say that. If you're not in the mood, if you want to be uplifted, this isn't the movie for you. You're definitely going to end up in a worse place. But again, it's a great story. And Julianne Moore is amazing in this. This is the one where I really thought, like, man, she's going to win the Oscar for this movie. Because she's amazing in it. She didn't get it. There you go. A Single Man from 2009. Jenny, what do you got?
Oh, I was on the wrong page. Okay, so this is a lot better. Okay, I was on a different page that didn't show me very much stuff. Mm. I was like, oh man. I don't have the date anymore. There's one coming, I think mid June ish. Mm-hmm. And it's Nightcrawler from last year.
Oh, and it's coming onto Netflix like the middle of the month, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it was by far one of my favorites of last year. I don't know that I'm interested to see if I could watch it again, because it was really hard to watch, only because it's so intense.
Yeah, you said that. You said that certain movies make you uncomfortable.
Right? Yeah, but it was really good, yeah. And I'm glad that it made me feel like that, because it was supposed to.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's really good. It's Jake Gyllenhaal, Renee Russo,
Bill Paxton,
Riz Ahmed.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's done anything else. And a bunch of, like, smaller people. Yeah. But, it's really good. It's about a guy that really wants to get into, I guess, journalism, kind of.
Yeah, he kind of wants to be a video journalist.
Well, I feel like he just really wanted a paying job at first, and he discovers Nightcrawler's happenstance.
It's about an ambitious young man.
Well, yeah.
Like, he finds something he's really good at it.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, that's really what the movie's about. I mean, it centers around people getting driving all night and getting footage of accidents, and you know, they listen to police scanners, and they try to get there and get video to sell to the news channels for the morning news. And it's a story about a guy who finds out what he's really good at, and it's about ambition, and it's a really, really good story. This is one of my favorites of last year. Written and directed by Dan Gilroy, and shot beautifully by Robert Elswith. And I love this movie because watching this movie and then you drive out to go to work or whatever the next day, you're like, oh, it's crazy how how people see the world through cinema, mm-hmm. and especially in LA because we live here, but it's weird to see how like different people photograph LA. Like Michael Mann definitely has a different aesthetic as Dan Gilroy, as you know, whoever films LA, like they have a very different aesthetic, and it's interesting to see their point of view through their lens.
I think that's part of what I loved about the movie so much, is just that LA feel of it. Like he really captured Los Angeles. Like driving around in Los Angeles feels a lot like it is in this movie.
Yeah.
Especially at night.
And you definitely get a sense of what LA at night is. Like because your experience of driving in LA in the daytime is a very different experience than driving at the nighttime. You know, like you could actually get places mm-hmm. pretty fast. Mm-hmm. And like that was one of the complaints I saw. Someone was talking about it. Someone I was talking to was like, he's like, oh, they get everywhere really fast. I'm like, well, yeah, they're up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
You can get anywhere really fast at night. Yeah. But yeah, and it shot really, really good. And, a lot of the scenes were shot down the street from us.
Yeah. I just love it. It's a great movie.
Yeah, it is.
I'm glad that it's coming to Netflix because I can't watch it again. I can totally watch it again.
That one's June 10th.
June 10th.
It's coming to Netflix. Yeah.
And Jake Gyllenhaal looks like he changed the way he looked. Like he definitely like lost a lot of weight. He looks sickly. I literally thought like, oh man, something's happening with Jake.
Yeah, he looks very gaunt.
Yeah, and then he looks completely different for Southpaw in the trailer. Well, good job for him. So, Adam, what are you at?
All right, so my number five is David Cross's directorial debut, Hits.
That was on my list as well, but I'll move it around.
Okay.
Yeah. What is Hits? Give us a synopsis.
Okay.
I haven't seen it, but.
Oh, so you haven't even watched it yet?
No.
So it's basically kind of a satirical parable about modern society and everyone's desire to be famous. One of the protagonists she wants to just be a famous singer. She wants to be on The Voice or American Idol or whatever random reality show she can get famous on. Like, she just craves fame. And her dad is played by Matt Walsh from the UCB. And he inadvertently achieves sort of internet fame because he's constantly complaining at these city hall meetings about potholes in the streets and whatnot. And so it's all about his daughter being jealous of him as he's becoming a sort of local celebrity, and all of these hipsters are coming trying to like support his cause. And it's fascinating, and it was a lot more sort of serious than I was expecting David Cross's movie to be. Like it's funny.
His first movie was Run, Ronnie, Run, right?
I don't think he directed that one. That one was Bob Odenkirk, wasn't
okay,
it?
Okay, it might.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. This is his first feature film.
Okay.
Written and directed by, and it's got a huge cast. Like everybody's in this movie. And I don't know, like I saw a lot of negative reviews of it, but I mean, I think he did exactly what he wanted to do. I think he accomplished what he wanted to accomplish, and I enjoyed it. I don't think Savannah enjoyed it as much as I did. I don't know, but it's just so, it's very prescient.
I like when people have like an opinion and then they yell it at you. I mean, that's how I feel this is. And that's how I feel. God Bless America is. Have you seen that movie?
Yes.
I love as well.
I think I had that on the list at one point.
Yeah, I mean, you might have, yeah.
Bobcat Goldthwait. Yeah. This is a much more mellow.
It's not as in your face.
It's not as intense.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's a very staid movie. Mm-hmm. And I was expecting something a little bit crazier. I was expecting something more like a Mr. Show type thing.
Yeah.
But it's just, It just is.
Right.
Not to be too zen about it, but it's just like, this is just a story and nothing super crazy. Like, there's no, it's not a sketch. It's a movie with real people in it. And like all these really great comedians just playing it straight, which is probably part of why it got such bad. Like, everyone's expecting it to be like this laugh out loud comedy. And it's just a story that, and he knows all these comedians and they're also really good actors. So they're in his movie, but they're not joking and hamming it up.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
Nice. So Hits, that came out like 2 years ago, a year ago?
It came out. Maybe. I mean, it just came out.
Yeah.
I feel like it was like 2014, 2015.
Yeah. Like it was VOD. And then
yeah, it was like VOD. And like he had a special like BitTorrent time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Or it was like pay what you can.
No. All right. My next pick is from 1989. This is my cheesy pick of this month. And Kickboxer is on streaming now. Check it out. Look, I'm trying to get a Van Damme movie a month. So last episode was Bloodsport. This week it's Kickboxer. If you don't know what Kickboxer is, all you really have to know is that Van Damme is doing the splits. He's being stretched. There's a scene where they stretch the shit out of him, and like they make him do the splits, you know. And he's avenging his brother, who's a kickboxer, international kickboxing sensation. And he goes to fight in Thailand, and he's beaten, paralyzed by the infamous Tom Po. Van Damme's character has to train to be better than Tom Po and kick his ass. And at the end, they fight. My favorite part is that they dip their hands in honey and then a glass.
I thought it was glue.
It might be glue. I thought it was honey.
Honey doesn't make sense to me.
I don't know. It just it's probably sweeter. But right before they start fighting, they lick it. And I'm like, and Tom Pro licks his fist.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I think it's glue.
He's just showing how badass he is that he can lick glass.
And glue. but yeah, Tom, this movie is pretty awesome. And they made like 4 or 5 sequels. And then in part like 3 or 4, which I watched. I'm an idiot that watched it. It starred remember the guy?
Cody from Step by Step?
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't he in jail for a while?
I don't know.
He was, and his was a great. Did you ever watch Step by Step, Jenny?
Yeah.
TGI Friday? He was charged for, like, beating his wife or something. And he spent, like, a couple years in jail. And then after, like, years after, they cleared his name. Like, it turned out, like he was trying to kill him and like, his kid. And, like, he actually, like, was protecting the kid. From her, and it turned out like he was exonerated from that.
That sounds way better than Kickboxer 4.
Yeah, it is. Oh, but speaking of Kickboxer 4, Tom Po is played by a white dude who's made up to look Asian. I'm serious, dude.
Wait, so is it always Tom Po? He's always the bad guy? He just keeps coming back?
Tom Po comes back for part 4, dude.
Oh, I thought he was in the second one, too.
Nah, he might be. Fuck. But see, Tom Po is never played by the same guy.
I thought it was the same guy in the first two.
Might be, but... Part 4, it's definitely a white dude.
But I've only
part
ever four watched the first dude. One because I...
Van Damme's not in the second
one.
Yeah, you don't need to watch the second one. But anyway, they're fun, you know, martial arts movies from the 80s. So if you're interested, check it out. Kickboxer from 89. Jenny?
All right. So another one coming is The Aviator.
Oh, nice. I was going to put it on my list, but I'm glad you did.
Yeah. That's a good one. I need to rewatch it, actually. It's been a really long time since I've seen it, I feel like. I'm older now, and I feel like I'll understand it even better than I did.
And also, you've seen a lot more movies, so I feel like you may...
Oh, I'll know the people in it better. Yeah.
When does this come out? Do you know?
It's already on.
It's already, yeah.
No, no, no. I mean, what year does the movie
2004.
Come out? 2004. Damn, that's over 10 years now. This movie's all really good. DiCaprio's always been one of my favorites. He's consistently awesome. He's playing Howard Hughes in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing the younger years. They don't go into his later years, really.
No Desert End years.
No. Which I hear Warren Beatty is doing a Howard Hughes movie.
Desert End years?
I think so. And because he's playing Howard Hughes.
It's been a while since he did anything.
Yeah, last thing he did was, I think, like Town and Country. And this is he's directing another one, and I think it's done. I think he's editing now.
Hmm.
But I mean, he's playing Howard Hughes, so it has to be, you know, Warren Beatty's not No spring chicken, you know? So
they can do it digitally.
I guess so. They could.
They just have him. They have him stand in, and then they digitally cover his face with his old face.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. That'll work. But yeah, this movie is The Aviator is really, really good. Directed by Scorsese. I think it was written by John Logan.
Mm-hmm.
And I really dig this movie because every decade that they cover, even the cinematography changes. Like when they're filming Hell's Angels, like the colors are really like, there's a lot of I don't know, magentas, you know. It definitely filmed really differently than the parts. Eventually, when it goes into movies, and then when he does the spruce goose at the end, it's like there's like three different color schemes that are really good, really cool, really well filmed, and it stars also Adam Scott. This is the first time I saw Adam Scott. Adam Scott plays... Yeah. Who plays
his press agent. His
press agent, yeah. There's a lot of really cool actors in this. Alan Alda, the scene with him and Alan Alda when they're having
dinner. In the hotel room? Where he like purposely puts the thumb smudge on his glass.
Yeah, he's such a dick in this. I love Alan Alda, but I hated him after this movie.
He was really good. Well, I mean, I still like him, but he was really good at playing like a villainous little shit.
Yeah. Alec Baldwin's really cool in this.
Oh, yeah. His one trip.
Yeah. It's funny. I was watching the HBO documentary on Frank Sinatra.
Mm-hmm.
And they covered Frank Sinatra and Ava Gardner years, you know? Mm. They covered that whole love thing the when they were married and stuff. And in The Aviator, they cover Howard Hughes and Ava Gardner. And it crosses at the same time. So she was dating Howard Hughes, both Howard Hughes and Frank Sinatra at the same time. So it's fun to watch this movie, then go see the documentary because you get the other side of that.
And you can watch the Rat Pack.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, really cool pick, Jenny. I like. Adam, what do you have?
Okay. I've got, this is one that's leaving this month, but you have until the end of the month. I'm sure we've talked about it at some point. I don't know if we talked about it recently. I hope we haven't talked about it on a Netflix episode already. Jack Reacher.
I don't think we've... Oh, man. We should write this down. Before we leave tonight, we're going to write down...
We're going to write down our list.
Yeah, and put it up on the website. Just so for future reference, we know
not to... We know not to mention the same movies. unless we love it that much, so we just keep mentioning it over and over again.
You guys really need to listen to us.
I know. Jenny, we hyped this movie too much for you.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We put it...
Well, when was this? 2013?
2012.
12, wow. So, I was told, like, going into it, it looks meh. Like, I was like, oh, great, another Tom Cruise movie. And everyone really kind of thought that going into it. But they were like, it's Tom Cruise. I'm going to go see it anyway. So, all of you guys went to go see it. And since you had all these low expectations, it was really great. You guys loved it. And you thought it was great. And so you were telling me, no, it's really great. You have to see it. And so I went into it going, oh, maybe I should have high expectations. And then I was very disappointed.
Okay. So,
that's
hey,
what happened.
You guys should check out this meh Tom Cruise movie. It's not the greatest.
I don't know why. I don't know why I didn't really like it. It just was like, it was okay. Nothing great. I don't ever need to see it again.
It's just, it was... like all my favorite parts of like cheesy 90s action movies, but not cheesy, like not as cheesy.
Yeah.
Like there's like it's a layer removed from the cheesiness of the 90s that I like. I don't know. It's and the mix of the 70s. Cause it's got the cool 70s car chase.
Yep.
I don't know. It's like a smart version of a 90s action movie.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there's a better way to put that. Like it's a smarter action movie than I was expecting. It's better than Oblivion.
Oh, Oblivion is horseshit.
And I didn't see that one either.
Don't see it. Skip
don't
it.
See
no,
Oblivion.
Go into it with really low expectations.
No, don't see it.
Waste
like,
your time.
Don't waste your time. And I was looking forward to Oblivion because it was
looked
the,
cool.
The
it had
director.
Cool
director.
Visual
yeah.
effects.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just horrible. But this movie, what I like about this movie is that, like you said, it was the best. It was like a mixtape of like the best hits of like the 70s and 80s for me.
Yeah.
Like, it had like a sort of like Steve McQueen.
Yes,
like where
exactly.
Like he was kind of silent and he was just a badass.
Mm-hmm.
He just fucking hit everybody, dude. Kicks the shit out of those dudes. And I just love like how cocky he was. Like meaning not cocky, but like how confident he was in his skills.
Yes.
Like when those dudes try to pick a fight with him and he's like, pay your bill. And he's like, oh, I'll do it later. And he's like, you won't be able to. And like, it just, he's just badass. And like, the thing is, Tom Cruise is tiny. He's like a little dude. But you could, I believe he could kick everybody's ass. Like, oh, you know. What I did? He's like, I don't want this fucking movie.
Shut up. Stop talking.
No. And Christopher McQuarrie, of course, wrote and directed this one.
Yes.
And he is the director of the new Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. That's one of the biggest reasons I'm so looking forward to Rogue Nation, because I love Jack Reacher. I loved you. You play the trailer?
Playing the trailer.
No, I accidentally started something on my Netflix. So if you listen clearly, if you rewind, you can hear someone in Peaky Blinders saying, you fucking cunt.
So yeah, check it out. Tom Cruise being a badass. And then you
I remember people complaining that he was nothing like the character in the novel. And I tried to read the novel. I'm okay with him not being anything like the character. The novel's really kind of juvenile.
Is it?
Yeah. And like, he's described as this really big hulking dude. But I feel like having it Tom Cruise makes it more interesting, because
He's not that huge.
Like, if you see the fucking Rock, you're not going to go pick a fight with the Rock.
Yeah.
But if you see Tom Cruise, I mean, if it's not Tom, if you see someone Tom Cruise's size, you'll be like, oh, hey, I can take this guy.
Yeah. He's wearing a flannel. I can take him.
He's just wearing flannel and boots.
Kick his butt. But yeah, I really enjoy this movie, and the car chase is really cool.
Awesome car chase.
I think I just don't like action movies, maybe.
No, you do.
Like, because I don't, I mean, maybe I like the newer ones, but I don't think I really would have ever been into
anything
70s
past,
or 80s any, action anything, movies.
Anything earlier than like 89.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to go through and like look, but for some reason, maybe that's why.
Maybe
because
that's why.
I'm not really into those.
I don't know. Yeah, it does have a little bit of cheese, but that's what I like about
it. I like ones that are comedic, like Beverly Hills Cop.
Okay.
I like those, but I don't feel like this was very comedic at all.
This is not the Beverly Hills Cop. This is more like 48 Hours.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Not even then. That's too funny.
That one's on my list on Netflix.
I mean, this, it's closer to Bullet.
Yeah.
And
I haven't really been in
it. Like The Getaway.
I tried to watch, what's the one with Burt Reynolds and Sally Fields?
You mean
Smokey and the Bandit?
Yeah, that one.
That's super funny.
That's a comedy. That is not an action movie.
Yeah. At all.
Maybe I liked that one then. There's one that's a car one that I didn't like.
I mean, you might have not liked Smokey and the Bandit, but it is a car one. It's yeah. But it's not a it's not an action. I mean, it's not an action shoot 'em up. It's like it's a comedy.
Okay. What car movie you didn't like?
What am I thinking of?
I don't know.
But there's like car chases.
There's definitely car chases in Smokey and the Bandit, but they're funny.
But I like Sally Field.
And so I was gonna say Jackie Robinson.
He had a really good cameo in Smokey and the Bandit.
Jackie Gleason?
Yes.
Yeah. As the sheriff. Oh, man. He's funny as fuck.
I don't know. I can't explain it.
Yeah, maybe
I like
you just
what I like and I don't like what I don't like.
Yeah. It's maybe something about like the cheesiness of like 80s action movies that you don't like.
Yeah. I didn't really like Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, yeah. She said that yesterday.
I just watched it for the first time like within the past year, though. And so I think that could have something to do with it. I watched it at the wrong time in my life. I should have watched it when I was younger.
Yeah. Like, when you see it as a kid, it's the right time.
I think
I'm
that's
really
true.
I'm really interested to see this
Nobody
reboot.
Told me anything about aliens. Big Trouble in Little China. I went into that completely blind and was like, well, what the fuck is going on?
See? That's what was so cool is watching as a kid, because you're like, oh, what is this trucker?
See, I think maybe I would have liked it more if I'd
like
seen it when I was
what's
younger.
This trucker guy doing with no sleeves on? What?
Yeah, like, I don't know.
You're like, oh,
why is he just narrating himself, his own life into the CB?
Yeah.
Fucking weird.
He's talking to Smokey.
I love
or the Bandit.
I love how like cheesy he is, like how he thinks he's John Wayne. And the truth of the matter is, like, I watched. There's a program that Robert Rodriguez does on El Rey Network called I can't remember, but just look it up. He interviews directors, but he did the John Carpenter one where he went through his whole filmography, and they talk about how Kurt Russell really isn't the lead of that movie. Like, he's a sidekick in that movie. The other guy is the lead, kicking everybody's ass. He's just kind of like the bumbling idiot,
he's always asking. Like, I feel like every scene he asks what's going on.
Yes, he does.
What the hell's happening here?
What the hell's going on? But yeah, Big Trouble in China is awesome. But what movie led us to this? What were we talking about?
Jack Reacher.
Jack Reacher. Check out
Jack
Reacher.
I think Big Trouble in Little China is still on Netflix, too.
It is.
Yeah, yeah. Check that out. All right, my next pick is from 2001, and it's a movie directed by Peter Bogdanovich, and it is The Cat's Meow. Have you seen this, either of you?
Mm-hmm. I have seen it.
I really enjoyed this. Did you enjoy it?
I did. I liked it. I always forget the guy's name who plays Hurst.
Edward Herman. Yeah.
He's good.
He's really good.
Kirsten Dunst is good. Eddie Izzard.
Yeah. Well, the movie is a semi-true story of a Hollywood murder that occurred at a star-studded gathering aboard William Randolph Hearst's yacht in 1924.
Right. Well, it's it was never proved.
Yeah, allegedly.
Yeah,
alleged murder.
I don't know if they... I'm sure someone from the Hearst family is still alive that could sue us.
Yeah, allegedly. Well, that's why it's a semi-true story.
Yeah.
You know?
It's based on actual events, but nobody knows what actually happened, or no one has talked about what has actually happened.
Yeah, and Jenny will like this because it's Lorelai's dad. Or who's Lorelai? Is that the mom?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, Durst? It's not Fred Durst.
No, Hearst. Hearst.
Hearst, oh.
Yeah. Hearst, yeah.
Okay.
Like the newspaper magnet.
Hearst Castle?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and
so it is a true story.
It's a semi-true. I mean, it's based on the boat happened.
Someone did die on William Randolph Hearst's yacht.
Okay,
but nobody knows the truth of the circumstances, like what really happened. Like,
oh, okay.
And it happened while all these stars were on board.
Yeah.
So,
but they don't know who.
They don't know
died.
How, no, they know who died, oh, but they don't know the circumstances of
how it happened. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
And it stars Kirsten Dunst as Marion Davis. We have Edward Herman as Hearst, and then we have Eddie Izzard as Charlie Chaplin.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. So, cool. Yeah, and it's Jennifer Tilly's in it. It's a really, really good movie. Cary Elwes is also in it. He plays Thomas Ince.
Is that how you say his last name?
Yes.
Oh, I've been saying it wrong all my life.
What did you? How do you say it?
I don't know. I don't even know now.
Elway?
Elves?
Yeah, something like that. Like where you like didn't
elves,
pronounce
with a W?
That. Yeah, you didn't elves. Pronounce something.
If you say
like one of the letters, you didn't say all the way or something.
I always say, if you say it with confidence, you can get away with it, right?
That's true.
Oh,
Yules. That's what I used to say.
Yules. That sounds fancier.
Yeah.
Yules.
Cary Elwes. He plays Thomas Ince. But yeah, it's a really good movie.
This
it's a drama.
Stuff really interests me. Can I tell you, I've finished Aquarius already.
Really?
Yeah. That kind of stuff
like
interests me.
True
like,
crime?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
totally.
I love this stuff. Yeah, yeah. You think you'll like this movie?
Probably.
There's some funny parts because Eddie Izzard's in it. But for the most part, it's pretty like dramatic. And I really enjoy it.
And then
it.
I'll go through and like try to figure out what's real and what's not.
Well, yeah. Movies always pique my interest and then makes me want to go see the real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going through. I'm like,
research the real
I'm looking
thing.
At all these blogs that are Manson family blogs. I'm like, okay, what's this person really look like in real life?
What's so crazy about Manson is that like, he convinced people to like, he didn't really do the killing.
I know.
You know? Like, he's like.
No, I know. Okay. It's crazy.
Like how stupid do the other people have to be, and how smart does?
Well, how much drugs do they have to be on? Also?
Yeah, that too.
Yeah,
that too. You know, and like
it's an interesting story. Yeah. Anyways, completely off the topic.
Yeah, yeah. But
what you're saying is you have a Hulu recommendation to watch all of Aquarius.
I know, but oh, it's off at the end of June. You only have a month to do it.
Okay.
And it's also on NBC. NBC is streaming.
Yeah. Well, they're going to take it off everything off NBC and only show like the ones that are showing on TV.
Oh, okay.
So if you have on demand, I would suggest if you can't finish it before June, they're going to take off everything and restart over when they're released. Does that make sense?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Even on NBC. And so then it's going to be like a regular TV show. So right now you can watch all of it at once. But at the end of June, they're going to only be posting the ones that have actually been shown on TV, is what they said online.
Oh, and it's the show actually starts at the end of June?
I don't know when it starts. Hmm. I think it's already started,
okay.
But they're only doing like once a week. So
okay.
They'll take them off and then they'll start over And so maybe only like three will be posted by that time.
Oh, okay. Maybe because that way they get more of the advertisers' money because people that, can't go. Can't
they're
go
trying
on
something.
Demand.
It's yeah. NBC's first time doing it too. So they're kind of yeah. trying something new. Yeah. So I think they're going to see how many people actually watch that compared to watching it live and yeah. then decide if they're going to do that again.
But you enjoy the show?
It was. I actually wanted more Manson stuff because okay. that shit really interests me. But David Duchovny's great. They. It's weird because the Manson stuff is kind of a side thing completely, and they kind of bring him up into the cops every so often. Like the cops go looking for him and stuff, but it's more just like every single week is almost a different murder or something, okay, just okay. like a regular cop show.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
the '70s, which is kind of cool because it's like, is it '60s or '70s? '60s, '60s, yeah. '60s in LA, which is kind of a cool time.
Yeah, yeah, it is a cool time,
and it's actually. I don't know if this is gonna. Well, it's Black Panther time, so it's not really a spoiler, but it's like
it's Black Panther time.
Yeah, something about that. I was just like, yeah, I feel like we needed like a segue sound or something.
Yeah, or like a jingle.
Yeah,
Black Panther time. But it's like very very close to what we're going through right now with racism and cops yeah. and stuff. So. Yeah. That was really interesting too. It's got the kid from Friday Night Lights, the black kid from the first few seasons.
Oh, okay. No,
I can't think. Yeah. What's his name in Friday Night Lights? I couldn't think of it the other day.
Not Anthony B. Jordan because he's in the
no,
later.
Michael B. Jordan. Michael, not B. Jordan. Michael B. Jordan.
But what did he say? Anthony.
Anthony.
I'm thinking of Anthony Mackie.
I'm trying to think of what his real That's name. Racist. I mean, his name is on the show. But anyways,
they're both good actors.
That
though.
Kid's he plays like one of the leaders of the Black Panther.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And it what was cool about the show is that besides David Duchovny, it's a lot of like. Non big names NBC TV show. It's a lot of giving
except
a lot
for
of
Renly plays Manson.
Oh, really?
From Game of Thrones. Really? Yeah, I love him. He's so cute.
So, what have you read about Manson? Did you get into like the Dennis Wilson stuff from the Beach Boys?
Oh, a little bit, yeah. Because okay. I mean, they go into him being trying to be a musician.
Yeah, yeah.
In the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like he has a recording studio person come and he like goes and records out in the open and the guy's like. Why do you want to record out here? Like, yeah. you're going to get so much sound. He's like, I like that, man. It's so fucking weird. It's great. I liked it a lot.
You got to read about Richard Ramirez next.
I need to read about Fred Durst next. And watch all the... What was that show
called? Fred Durst?
That's his name, right?
William Randolph Hearst?
No.
Not the Jackal, the HBO thing.
That just happened. That's Fred Durst, right?
Robert Durst. Yeah. Fred Durst is from Limp Bizkit.
Oh, yeah. That happened in real life.
That's a whole other crime against humanity.
Yes. I'm just going to say that joke.
That actually happened in real life. Somebody accidentally, one of the like NBC or something accidentally said. That's what's in my head. Sorry.
She did. And then for a long time, Fred Durst was like, I did not kill anybody. Yeah, I think he tweeted
Robert
out.
Robert Durst. God damn it.
Robert Durst. I remember what the show's called on HBO.
That's what I need to watch.
Anyway, just type in.
It's like a documentary.
No, not Fred Durst, yeah. And you'll probably get this show. The Jinx.
That's right.
Yeah. See, I need to watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've been told.
It's really good. It's really good. Okay. So that was my pick, The Cat's Meow. Check it out.
I forgot. I thought it was Jenny's pick. I thought we were already on Jenny's pick. That was a long train of thought.
I was wrapping up my movie. What is your next pick, Jenny?
Oh, now it is my turn. Yeah. Okay, hold on. I'm sorry. Okay, so there's something coming that I haven't seen yet, but I really was interested in seeing and just never got around to it. And it is Rosewater.
Oh.
The Jon Stewart.
I never saw it either.
Movie. It didn't sound like it actually did very well for some reason, but it's still written and directed by Jon Stewart, who I love, and it's got
Gael Garcia Bernal.
Yeah, all these great people in it. Yeah. So I can't imagine that it's not going to be good.
It's okay.
Oh, you saw it?
I don't know. It's an interesting movie. It's like it's hard to describe.
Yeah.
It's not The Daily Show, obviously. It's this weird little. It's hard. I can't even think of really how to describe it because it's like a surreal look inside of this strange ordeal in this Iranian prison that he's illegally detained in, basically. And it's just such a bizarre. Like, it's a bizarre movie because it's a bizarre situation where it's like you're being held prisoner by essentially a prisoner. Like, that's kind of the whole. basis of the movie. Like, these people are imprisoned by their own government, and it's just like a they're perpetuating their own imprisonment, kind of. I don't know. It's a weird thing, and there's so many layers. It's not a bad movie. It's a well-made movie. I mean, I'm glad that Jon Stewart made it. I'm interested to see what he does next.
I think it'll be easier to watch now that it's free. I will say that.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where I was like, well, I want to see it, but there's plenty of other stuff out.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, that felt low. It fell low on the priority list for me. So.
But it's still kind of interesting.
Nice. When does that come on? And Gael Garcia Bernal is like always really good, so I'm sure his performance is awesome. I am curious to see what he does next. Jon Stewart. Because I know that's one of the things he's going to do,
10th.
Right?
June 10th. Okay.
Another movie?
Yeah, I think that's
So. I hope he didn't have such a terrible experience
directing,
making Rose Water that he wouldn't want to do it again. I'm interested. Like,
who, Jon Stewart?
Yeah, like I feel like... When he's got more time, and like I'm interested to see what he has to do.
I think
like
he
has a voice, and I'd like to see it more in film.
Nice.
Yeah, he's an intelligent dude.
Yeah, I'm curious to see him do like a comedy. I want to see him do a comedy.
And
like,
I mean,
like Woody Allen's type, like dramatic comedy.
He makes fun of his own acting a lot, but I enjoyed a lot of movies that he acted in.
Mm-hmm.
Like I did enjoy him in Big Daddy. Playing by Heart, I think he's quite charming.
I know what you're talking about.
I like him in Welcome to Smoochie.
Oh, he's in that?
Yeah, he's like one of the execs.
Oh, wow.
And I said Death to Smoochie, right?
Yeah. Yes. You said Welcome
to... Welcome to Smoochie. Death to Smoochie. Welcome to Smoochie.
That's a sequel.
Yeah. Death to Smoochie. That second beer's kicking in, guys. What was the other one? And as the stoned guy telling all about the stuff in the back of the $20 bill and Half-Baked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's awesome. Yeah, he should do more acting. What is your pick?
I feel like I need a sidebar for one of my picks. Like, you can watch it on the internet for free, but not on Netflix.
Okay.
And it's on YouTube.
Okay.
You can watch this documentary, The Complete Citizen Kane. It's just a documentary about the making of Citizen Kane that I just watched the whole thing the other day, and I was not expecting to. Like, all hour and a half of it. And it was really interesting, like, just seeing behind... I don't know if it was ever one of the special features on any of the DVDs or the Blu-rays, but just like a really in-depth documentary about all facets of making the movie. And it's on YouTube. The Complete Citizen Kane. I guess we can post a link maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know if that'll get it taken down. I hope not. Hopefully
not.
But it's really interesting. And just like talking about like one of my favorite moments in the doc is they spend time with the makeup artist who like basically his job was sweeping up in part of the studio. And he would collect like the hair and he would sweep up in like the barbershop or something like that on the studio. Mm-hmm. And he would make wigs and stuff. And he basically ended up being like the lead makeup guy on this movie.
Oh, really?
And he fashioned all of Wells's age makeup. And it's an interesting doc. And you just learn so much about it.
And it's free on Netflix.
Free on YouTube.
YouTube, sorry.
Free on YouTube.
We'll try to post a link. Hopefully it's still up by the time you go and check it out.
And if not,
check it out. It's free.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's been up for a while.
All right. Well, then hopefully it's still there.
Yeah.
And again, it's free. So.
Yes.
YouTube. All right. Do you now want to actually say your pick, your Netflix pick?
Okay. Well, so my tie-in Netflix pick with that is The Trial, which is another Orson Welles movie that he did with Anthony Perkins based on a Kafka short story that's just batshit insane. Like, it's nothing like Citizen Kane at all. It's just a crazy... Whenever someone like misuses the term Kafka-esque, this is what they're trying to imply. Like, it's just a bizarre, surreal experience about this weird bureaucracy of this guy trying to like. I can't even explain it. It's just so. It's Anthony Perkins going. It's very. I feel like Terry Gilliam watched The Trial a lot.
Okay, that explains a lot.
The Trial and Brazil would be a really interesting double feature about like this crazy sort of Byzantine bureaucratic process of like the government trying to control the little man. It's really crazy. And it just feels nothing like any other Orson Welles movie I've ever watched.
And that's streaming on Netflix.
And it's streaming on Netflix.
The Trial.
The Trial.
All right. And so my next pick is from 1972. And it is The Way of the Dragon, written and directed by Bruce Lee. So I've been making my way, rewatching all the Bruce Lee movies. Still, I always say my favorite one is Fist of Fury. People really like Enter the Dragon, but I'm a Fist of Fury kind of dude, you know?
That's the one that was on all the time.
Yeah. And that's the one that has the ice fight, you know, at the ice factory. But Way of the Dragon, the one that's streaming now, is the one with where he has the infamous fight with Chuck Norris at the end at the Coliseum.
Mm.
So basically the gist of the movie is Bruce Lee goes to visit his relatives that run a restaurant in Italy. And he has to help him defend against some brutal gangsters that are harassing them. So at the end, like I said, you know, it's him and Chuck Norris just going fucking at it. And it's funny because Chuck Norris's character is called Colt. And I like to think this is a prequel to Three Ninjas, you know. And this is this character was like their grandfather or something, you know. And that's why they named the Three Ninjas Colt.
That's a deep cut.
Yeah, yeah. But it's really cool. And like, if anything, you have to watch it so you could see that infamous scene at the end when they fight. It's really cool. It's really well done. And it's Bruce Lee directing. So check that out. And again, it's from 1972, The Way of the Dragon. Jenny?
All right. So I'm picking a TV show because... It's getting down to the wire, and there's not very many things coming to June. I will say that.
You're allowed to.
So the new season of Orange is the New Black is coming, and I'm excited about it. I liked both of it's. This is the third season. I liked the first two a lot. Binge watched them. Not for everybody, but I really like them. I think they're funny. I think they're real, and there's other people than just Piper in them, and I think that's what makes the show. All the other characters.
Laura Prepon is in it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and Natasha Leone.
I it was weird. I feel like this is probably something I should say off mic, but whatever. But I was weird. They had that Steve Martin Lifetime Achievement thing the other day at the Dolby Theater, and I saw Natasha Leone with Fred Armisen, and it was an interesting like little, oh, hey, they look really nice together and very happy. It was a weird Hollywood moment.
They're together?
Oh, I don't know if they were at the event together. Oh. Like they arrived together. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And you can cut this out.
Yeah. Well, I won't, but.
No, that is interesting. I wonder if they're, I mean, yeah, they could be friends.
He used to be married to Elizabeth Moss, right? Moss?
Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
From Mad Men. Yeah. And it's crazy.
Wasn't a very good husband, apparently.
he does so much stuff. When
I know,
time to
that's
be a
the
husband.
Thing. I think that's the thing. Yeah, and she does too.
Yeah,
they both do.
And then didn't Natasha Leone for a while? Like she was like she kind of fell off the earth. She was like hooked on drugs, right?
Yeah,
like for years.
For a while,
yeah. And then she came back and look at her now.
Came back with a vengeance.
Yeah.
God, I love her. She's really good.
It's a great cast. Just looking at it. So Taylor Schilling is the main girl, and she's pretty and nice and good, but she's not unique at all. And so she's not nearly one of the best characters on there. She's just a white chick in prison who might be a lesbian.
That was the original title. just a white chick in prison who might be a lesbian.
So it's like, okay. But then there's all these other great characters like Danielle Brooks and Taryn Manning.
I was going to say, I don't know which character is that. You're just saying they're
actually.
Oh,
names. Yeah. Tasty. Is Danielle Brooks.
God damn it.
Was it Peaky Blinders again?
Yes.
it's always dropping expletives.
I don't know why.
Uzo Aduba. Uzo Aduba, that's Crazy Eyes. She's fantastic. She's won a lot of things for her role in this show. She's fantastic. Kate Mulgrew is Red, and she's great. Michael Harney plays like the main honcho guy. And Samira Wiley plays Pusey. And Dasha Polenka plays Diaz, and she's fantastic too. It's a lot of, like, really great characters. Pennsylvania is Taryn Manning with all her fucked up teeth. She's pretty crazy.
I really dig her as an actress. I think she's very interesting looking, and she is good. I liked her in Hustle and Flow.
Oh, yeah. I like her a lot.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Jason Biggs is fantastic.
Is he still on the show?
Yeah. Okay. He shows up every so often.
I haven't seen the show at all.
I don't know if he's like gonna, if they've said anything about him not being on the season, but he still shows up.
Nice.
So we'll see, I guess.
I have to check it out. And the season 3 starts this month?
Yeah. Soon. It might have been at the start of the month, or like the 10th. I can't remember now.
Okay. But this month, June.
Yes.
All right. Orange is the New Black. I have to put that on my list. There's so many fucking shows to watch. Like, I want to watch that new Wachowski Brothers show, Sense8.
Don't do it.
Okay.
Don't do it. Right. I mean, I guess you. I'm not your boss. You can do it if you want. But I watched the first episode,
and you weren't.
And I wish I could have that hour of my life back.
Oh, all right. I still have to finish Bloodlines, which was really good. Bloodlines, I enjoyed. I'm like halfway through, so I'm going to finish.
I'm catching up on Hannibal.
Oh, I should do that too. I only watched the first season.
Oh yeah, I'm all caught up except for what just started. Yeah. Season 3.
I'm on like episode 8 of season 2.
Oh, it's so good. I love Hannibal. Yeah,
it's my favorite.
Yeah.
I think it's one of my favorite shows right
now.
Oh,
yeah. It's great. It sticks. It stays good the entire time, too. Yeah, I love Hannibal.
Well,
this isn't Netflix. It's HBO. But what? True Detective comes back in nice. June as well.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
That is the shit.
Looks good, and yeah. Savannah's going to have to watch it because Rachel McAdams is in it. Oh, she loves Rachel McAdams.
I thought she was perfect. A Taylor Hitch fan.
No.
All right.
He's great, too.
I am, but whatever. Adam, what is your next pick?
My next pick is a movie I'm also pretty sure we've talked about at some point, but it's on Netflix if you haven't watched it after we've recommended it, however many times we've recommended it already. Pina.
Oh.
2011 dance documentary about Pina Bausch.
Oh, okay.
Have we talked about that before? No, I talked to somebody else about it.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think we've talked about it.
I feel like we talked about it at some point. Like, because I thought a lot of it was in 3D, right? It in 3D, and it was amazing.
I didn't see it.
Oh, my gosh. It was so good in 3D. It was one of the few movies, and like, I was really happy I saw it in 3D.
Wow.
Usually, I don't care.
I'll have to catch it again when like they show it. Like,
the way that they do that layering, kind of like they did in Hugo, where it's like the depth. So it made it feel like you were actually watching a live dance performance.
Ooh.
Because of the depth created by the 3D. It was awesome. But the movie itself, you don't need that. It's just a great, like if you appreciate modern dance at all, you'll probably love this movie. It's just such a beautiful, beautiful movie. You don't need any of the talking heads, which are a great addition. You could just watch the dancing. It's such a beautiful movie.
Do you know who directed this?
It was Wim Wenders.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like Wim Wenders.
Yeah. He's good.
Yeah. I will have to check this out. I wish I would have seen it in 3D. I keep hearing that. It was really great in 3D.
It's probably my favorite 3D movie.
Oh, all right.
I can't think of anything else where I would like... I would if they do re-release it in 3D, which is a really weird. If they re-release the documentary about modern dance,
they might.
In 3D.
Well, they might. Do,
I will go see it.
They
again.
They might do Wim Wenders double feature, like at the Egyptian or something. Now, Wim Wenders, did he do the Buena Vista Social Club documentary?
Oh, I don't know.
I think he might have. I think he did. But I love that, and so if he directed,
he did.
That, yeah. So check those both out. Even if
Wings
it's not
of Desire,
yeah. Wings of Desire is
Paris,
the shit.
Paris, Texas?
Yes. Wim Wenders is the shit. Paris, Texas, like, I think I talked about this.
Did he also do that Dashiell Hammett movie with, what's his name? I'm pretty sure he did, or it's like a fictionalized story of Dashiell Hammett where he's actually a detective.
I think I know what you're talking about, and I'm going to say no.
He did. Yeah, he did. 1992.
What is it called?
Hammett.
Yeah.
And it's with Frederick Forrest.
Oh,
he's
okay.
The chief the cook in Apocalypse Now.
Yes. Oh, wow. He did do it. All right. Jenny, did you ever see that movie? What was Wings of Desire? They remade
Wings of Desire. Oh, City of Angels.
Have you seen City of Angels with Nicolas Cage?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's where the song comes from, Iris.
Yes.
Well, the original movie is really great. It's called Wings of Desire.
Oh.
It's amazing.
It's so weird to me that they got City of Angels streaming. It's just whatever, man. Well done.
All right. My final pick is a movie that I quite enjoy, and it's beautifully shot. It is a movie from 2007, and it's called The Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
Oh.
Fair warning. It's a foreign film. There are subtitles, so you will be reading.
Wait, that's your fair warning? I feel like the whole POV of a paraplegic is more of a barrier to this movie than the fact that it's a foreign film.
Okay, I'll say that.
Not
as well.
That I think it, I love it. Yeah. I love it for a foreign film, and I love the crazy, interesting ways that they
use the POV.
Yeah, they set half of the movie from the POV of someone who's stuck in their bed.
So, Jenny, half of this movie is POV, so the point of view of the paraplegic person. Half of it is regular narrative, but it is an amazing story. It's about, first of all, it's a true story of the editor of Elle magazine, who suffered a stroke and had to live the rest of his life paralyzed. And all he can move is his eyelid. That's all he can move. And he wrote his whole autobiography by just blinking his fucking eye. Just one fucking eye. And I think the nurse was the one who developed the method of communication, right, with him?
I feel like she had read about it somewhere else and applied it to him.
Yeah.
It's like, and you would just, there's like a certain kind of alphabet,
like
a way that the alphabet is split up, and you would
blink for what letter?
Yeah. Blink to stop. She would go through the letters.
Yeah. And, anyway, he narrated his autobiography to her, and it's a beautiful movie, 'cause you see flashbacks of him as a young man. And
who directed this?
Julianne Schnabel.
Yeah, it's a really great movie. Really, like, you would think that this is a really depressing movie.
Yeah.
But it's really uplifting.
It is.
It's like that.
It makes you want to, like, live life.
Yeah. You're like, let's go out and do something. Like, I just watched this movie. I got to go do something with my life now. Because I might be stuck in a bed.
Yeah.
Only able to blink my eye.
Yeah.
And it's so good. It's so just gorgeous to look at. And the soundtrack is great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's... Julian Schnabel is not only a director, but he started off as a painter. He's an artist. He started off with Basquiat. He was one of Basquiat's best friends. And so there's this... Oh, shit. I wish I knew what the title of this was. But there was a show on TV or Netflix that I once watched. And it was basically they would take students, or like art students... And they would match them up, like they would take like 20 students and they would put them, it was called like Masterclass or something. I will find out and I'll try to put it on the website. But Julian Schnabel was one of the guys that they picked. Basically, they got like 20 art students and they went and they took, like on a field trip, they took them to Julian Schnabel's art gallery. And he talked about kind of like what inspires him to do art and how he does it and just kind of like his take on it. That's what it's called, Masterclass. Yeah. So check it out, Masterclass. And he talks about how, like, one time he was on vacation in Mexico and he saw this tarp on top of this, like, truck. And he's all, that looks like a great canvas, like, to start a painting on. And he literally went to the guy and he said, hey, can I buy the canvas off your truck? And the guy's, okay, sure. And then he showed the painting when it was done and it looked beautiful. And so it's just interesting and to hear his take also on, like, what art is to him. He's an amazing artist. But this movie is beautifully shot by Spielberg cinematographer Janusz Kaminski, I think. And it's just a great story. It's, like Adam said, it's very, very uplifting. Again, just a great story. It's in French. So
it's funny.
It's funny. He's really funny.
He's really funny.
Even as just blinking one eye, he's really funny.
Yeah. And it's...
And a lot of it is his inner monologue.
Matthew Almaric.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was the bad guy in Quantum of Solace.
Yeah. He's a great
actor.
He's
so good.
Yeah.
He's so good. I don't know.
And
I just...
Max von Sydow plays his father.
Right.
In the flashbacks, yeah.
And Roman Polanski's girlfriend is in it.
I don't know who she is.
The one, you know who she is. She's in all of his movies now.
Oh, okay.
Emmanuel Signier.
Yeah. But again, check it out. It's really, don't let the POV deter you or the subtitles. It's a great movie. It's uplifting as well.
I think this is the only movie off the top of my head that I can think of that relies on POV so much that I actually enjoy. Because I really, yeah. I really hate POV for an extended period of time. Yeah. It kind of gets to me.
I remember my eyes getting really watery because you would see him, like when they would show him actually blinking.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about the crazy mechanics of the whole, like where they like illustrate the fact that you are literally in his POV. Like they really utilize the eyelids in front of the eye.
Yeah.
I got to rewatch it. I'm glad that you reminded me this on Netflix. I got to rewatch it.
The Diving Bell and the Butterfly from 2007. Jenny, what's your last pick?
All right. So it's another one I haven't seen, but I've actually heard really great things about this one. And it's another foreign one. It's 2 days, one night. And it's with Marianne Cotillard.
Oh, the Dardenne brothers.
She got nominated for this last year, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yes. Oscar nominee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard great things. So she's on medical leave for depression, and while she's away, all of her coworkers or their boss decides to tell her 16 coworkers that if they fire her, then everyone will get a bonus. So he leaves it up to the coworkers to decide if they want to fire her and all get this extra money. And so she has, and they all decide that they do want to do that because they want the extra money. And so she has 2 days to change their mind so that she still keeps her job.
What is it called again? 2 days, two nights?
2 days, one night.
2 days, one night. It sounds too similar to, what is it, 4 days, four nights?
Well, 6 days, seven nights? 6 days,
7 nights. Oh, it's man, got a French off. Title, but I can't pronounce it.
Yeah.
Deux jours, une nuit, nuit.
That sounds right to me.
Toujours une nuit.
Yeah, that sounds more right than I did.
Yeah, I could have read The Diving Bell and the Butterfly in French, but I chose not to
do it.
Massacre it.
Cool. I've actually heard really great things about it.
And it's a French film, right?
I'm assuming. It's
Marianne Cotillard.
Yeah.
Well, and the Dardenne brothers.
Yeah.
They did The Boy and the Child and...
Yeah.
But it's definitely...
they're good. They're good directors.
Subtitled.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
Two back-to-back movies that are subtitled. So if you're in the mood for a French film, there you go.
Well, I've got some bad news for non-foreign film fans. Because my last film is also subtitled. And I also haven't seen it.
Oh.
But I've seen all three other movies in the series, and it is Wreck 4 Apocalypse.
Oh.
And
you like the series?
I love the Wreck series. It's really good.
It's in Spanish.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. So no subtitles for me.
No subtitles for Ricardo. No. they're so so I came into the series via Quarantine, which was the American remake.
You saw Quarantine first.
I saw Quarantine first.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with Quarantine because I hadn't seen Wreck.
Yeah.
It's not the greatest movie. And the sequel to Quarantine is nowhere near as good as any of the Wreck sequels. But Wreck or Record or whatever however you're properly supposed to call this movie, I love them all. The fourth one brings back the main character from the first movie, and they're on a ship now for some reason. And I don't know. They're just crazy, awesome Spanish zombie movies.
And they're found footage movies?
The first 2.5 are.
Okay.
Halfway through Wreck 3... it switches from found footage to a standard film. And it's not, like, it's kind of found footage. They don't present it where it's like, oh, something happened and years later we found this footage.
Yeah.
It's from a documentary where it's like, oh, a news crew is here. Like, the first movie is a news crew goes in to do a ride-along with the fire department. And they end up going to this building where crazy shit starts happening. And they just keep filming it. And normally I'm not the biggest fan of found footage, but this whole series I love.
Nice.
And this fourth one, I don't think is found footage. I think it's just after halfway through the third one, they're like, fuck it, let's just make awesome movies now.
And same director?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's...
But they've been good because you're on four.
Yeah, I'm on four and I've enjoyed all of them. I guess we did one and two, it looks like.
Well, what Quarantine was with... Isn't Dexter's sister in it? From the
Yes.
Dexter?
Oh, shit, what's her name?
I don't know.
I can't remember her name.
Dexter's sister
and wife, Jennifer Carpenter.
Yeah. I was like, all right, it's on the tip of my tongue.
And then she plays the role that Manuela Velasco plays in the original, And Manuela Velasco is in 1 and 2, and now she's in 4.
Oh.
And 3 kind of veers off, and it's like, oh, this is where everything might have started at this wedding. They're all awesome. I love them all. I think 3, I don't know. They're all so great. It's a lot of fun, a lot of scary.
And you recommend Quarantine.
I recommend.
I might check it out too.
Quarantine. It's an okay remake. Like it's basically like just by the numbers. Like, oh, let's connect the dots that they did in the first one, but in English.
No,
I liked everything about Quarantine until the end. The new. I only saw the remake.
I'm trying to remember the differences between the end of Quarantine and the end of Rec. Only difference between they're different causes in Quarantine versus Rec. Like they kind of have different explanations for what happens.
I don't like when they end up. I won't say anything.
Because Ricardo hasn't seen it.
Yeah.
So you can. I think you should probably watch Quarantine first because
doesn't Quarantine have Michael Peña in it too? Am I wrong? It's been a while since I've seen it.
I like. By the way, talking about Michael Peña, did you guys see the new Ant-Man trailer? Michael Peña.
I did not.
Michael Peña's in it. It's funny.
No, Jay Hernandez. Sorry. That was really, really bad.
What's his name? The you guy know, who plays the dick in That Thing You Do.
You know, I went to school with Jay Hernandez. Did I ever tell you that?
Jonathan Schick.
Really?
Yeah.
I had a huge crush on Jay Hernandez when I was growing up. Crazy Beautiful. That was the movie. Loved it.
With Kirsten Dunst, right?
Yeah.
Loved yeah. it. I was really jealous of Jay Hernandez. I'm like, damn you. I had a thing for Kirsten Dunst.
I thought you were about to be like, for Jay Hernandez.
No.
Anyways, so Rec and Quarantine are the same.
Rec and Quarantine are the same. They change the ending a little bit.
But Rec is better.
Probably. Rec is better. You can enjoy Quarantine if you see it before you see Rec.
Yeah.
And I enjoy the whole series all the way through, even though they're found footage, the first 2.5.
And Rec is REC, right?
REC.
Like record.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, do you record. Call it record? Do you call it Rec? I don't know.
It's Rec.
I like that.
It's hard to say.
I've heard a lot of really good things about it. I haven't seen it.
They're fun. They're fun little thrill rides.
And maybe we'll do something for Halloween. Maybe we'll watch them. Have a little.
But it's this one. Fest. All of the wrecks are in are subtitled.
They're all subtitled. Yes, they're all in Spanish. You can watch. I'm sorry if you haven't caught up with the series. You can watch 3 and 4 on Netflix right now.
Damn it!
But no 1 and 2.
No 1 and 2 on Netflix. I mean, they might be on.
Are they all about the same type of thing? Do they all have the same people and it's like
the first two
story that goes along?
The first two are about the same building. The third one is like, oh, hey, we think this outbreak started at this wedding.
Oh.
And then the fourth one is after the outbreak has happened and they've somehow wound up on a ship. I don't know. I haven't watched the fourth one yet, so I can't say. But I know they're on a boat.
Yeah.
With T-Pain.
T-Pain.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll check out that series. Before we end it, I want to recommend this app. Speaking of not knowing what it's on, Rec 1 and 2, this is a really cool app called Fan TV. And I really dig it because you input what you have, like whether you have cable, what cable you have. Whether you have Netflix, HBO, all that stuff. You put in everything that you subscribe to, Hulu, whatever. And then it's a really good search engine to find movies and TV shows. So if you think of a movie, I would type in Rec. It would know what I'm subscribed to, and it would tell me where it's airing. And if it's airing on TV, it'll tell me what time it's airing and if I want to record it. If you hook it up to your cable thing, you could make it all work as one. Especially if you're on Time Warner Cable. It works really well with that. But you don't have to have Time Warner. And it's a really cool search engine app if you want to know, if you want one search engine to find TV shows and movies, Fan TV. All right. And then, listen to our friends at the Coming Soon cast. It's our friend Sean and Vito. Vito's been in here. He was in here, I think, for the last Netflix recommendations episode. Check that out. And then our friends who do the Popcorn podcast, Shadow Suna. And Isola. Check that out. And you can find us on the internets and on Twitter at The Film Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Ricardo, U-L-T-R-E-R-A-S.
I'm at Jhenigh, J-E-H-N-E-I-G-H.
I'm at an Adam Scott, A-N underscore Adam Scott.
And stay tuned, especially the next month, because we'll be at Comic-Con, and we'll have a bunch of coverage from that. Not only through here, but through the website. So check that out. Stay tuned. And follow us on Twitter to be up to date with that. All right. Until next time.